Today is Saturday, the 15th of July, 2023, and we are all gathered here for the 90th session on mindfulness for beginners in the English medium. And we have Venerable Bante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero participating, representing Nisarana Forest Monastery. And on behalf of all of us who are joining through Zoom and the Facebook live stream, I would like to welcome Bante with great respect to today's session. And I would give you a quick rundown on what we are going to do on today's session. Firstly, we will start with in-session mindful practice, and then we will move on to the talk on mindfulness. The topic today is stress and anxiety, same as last week. And then we will move on to the question and answer session, where we will forward all the reports received for today's session to Bante for insightful guidance, as well as we will raise the opportunity for you to ask verbal questions. After that, we will wrap up the program, allowing you some time for verbal verbal questions, if any. So we will commence with the session now, and I on that direction, I would like to invite Bante to commence with the in-session practice. Over to Bante. Much merits.
Hello, everyone. Today, we will start our program with a mindful sitting practice. For this, you have to adjust your seat. Make sure that you are comfortable. Once you are comfortable in your posture, you can gently close your eyes and try to notice that you are sitting. You are seated in a comfortable manner and you have your eyes closed. Pay attention to the present moment and see, notice what you feel. Notice what you feel in the present moment. You may feel your body, maybe the pressure on your back, the pressure on your legs. There are signs that you are seated. Apart from that, you may even feel your body breathing. Probably as a movement of your chest or stomach. Probably as a touch at your nostrils. Be comfortable and see whether you feel your breathing. Time to time, various thoughts might appear, memories, future planning. These thought processes might appear. but we allow them to pass naturally while being conscious that they are there. Sometimes you feel sleepy. Sometimes you may feel pain, aches in your body. You may hear surrounding sounds as well. We allow all these things to pass naturally while being aware. Again and again, you know that you are seated in this present moment. You know that you are breathing. Let's try to appreciate this seated posture for a few more minutes. Okay, everyone, now you can open your eyes again. So that's about 15 minutes of mindful sitting, just to give you an idea about the sitting practice. So you can practice on your own every day, at least like 20-30 minutes of mindful sitting daily. It's important. So with that, Namantha, you can take over.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits. And then we have the talk on mindfulness coming up, and I would like to invite Bhante to commence a talk on stress and anxiety. Thank you, Bhante. Over to Bhante again.
Okay, everyone, we can take some time to discuss today's topic. Now, let's think about our lives. We may be studying, we may be working, we may be managing a family. All these things we have in our lives. So as a result, you might feel that you are quite stressed. You work for so many hours, you do your family matters for so many hours, and at the end of the day, you might feel stressed, you might feel it's difficult to bear. So these feelings, these emotions are common in this new age. Now, let's say if we have a choice to be stressed or to be calm, which one would you pick? If you have a choice to pick whether to be stressed or whether to be calm, definitely you might pick the option to be calm, the option to be peaceful. That's your pick. That choice you will do, right? So when it comes to the mental health, or when it comes to the practice of meditation, the idea is that you have a choice. You have a choice whether to be stressed or whether to be calm. If you are willing to pick calmness over stress, or peace over chaos, then you might have to do something about it. If you do something about it, then definitely you might pick that option. You can choose calmness over stress. You can choose peace over chaos. So that option is available. If you are willing to do, then as a result, you can pick. So that's the idea behind mental health. That's the idea behind meditation. If you are willing to choose, then you have to do something about it. You have to reserve some time. You have the ability to control your mental states. For that, you need a proper training. Every day, you might have to spend some time doing a formal meditation, formal practice. Not few hours, probably like 20-30 minutes daily. If you try practicing meditation, then as a result, within few weeks, you realize, now my mind is much more calmer. Now my mind is much more peaceful. That realization you will arrive if you spend some time on it. If you spend some time on meditation every day for a few weeks, if you try 20-30 minutes of meditation, then definitely as a result, you can pick calmness over stress. You can pick peace over chaos. That choice is there. But you have to do your own work. You have to spend some time. You have to practice. If you practice, if you do your thing, then as a result, then of course you can be calm. You can be peaceful in your mind. Now let's say most of the things, they are just happening. They are just happening. We don't even notice what's happening. Usually our attention goes to the important things. The minor things, little things, they are anyway happening. as a habit, it's happening. Without consciousness, it's happening. This is how our mind is. Let's say if you take a day, majority of the tasks that you do, majority of the thoughts that you harbor, majority of the words that you say, majority of them are happening just without your consciousness as the power of habit. It's happening. So this is how we function. Most of the time, we are programmed to do certain things in a certain way, and we go on doing it. That's how we function. We act, we talk, we harbor thoughts, and this habitual behavior is continuing. Now, the practitioner, let's say, when you introduce mindfulness to somebody, we say, these habitual things are happening. Your body is walking. Your body is breathing. But you don't know that your body is walking. You don't know that your body is breathing. They are just happening. What we suggest is that try to be more and more conscious while walking. Try to be more and more conscious that your body is breathing. That consciousness is encouraged. And again, you try to practice it. You try to train yourself to be conscious while walking, to be conscious while being seated or while breathing. When you do this for a while, let's say every day, probably like 10,000 steps you are taking daily. How many conscious steps are there? If I may ask, then you might wonder, out of 10,000 steps, how many conscious steps I am taking? Probably not even 5 or 10. So the practitioner, they try to at least catch 50 or 100 steps. Every day, 50 or 100 steps you take consciously. Out of these 10,000, you try to catch few daily. Every day your body is anyway breathing. Your body is breathing probably like 22,000 times. Your body is breathing. Daily it's breathing. So how many conscious breaths are there? If I may ask, then you might wonder. Probably not even 10 breaths you are taking consciously. So out of these 22,000 breaths, can I take at least like 100 breaths consciously? That's the idea given to a beginner, to a newcomer. You are anyway walking. Your body is anyway breathing. Try to take more and more conscious steps. Try to take more and more conscious breaths. At least every day, at least like 100 breaths, try to take them consciously. At least like 100 steps, try to take them consciously. So this is the beginning of the practice. Earlier, they were happening. They were happening habitually. But now, intentionally you pay attention to the walking. Intentionally you pay attention to the breathing. And try to count more and more conscious steps. Try to count more and more conscious breaths. So that's the proper approach towards your practice. Now, there was this foreigner a few days back, and he was saying, when I was conscious during the walking process, I am noticing a large amount of details in this process. I am noticing how my legs are working. I am noticing how I am turning. I am noticing even the wind touching against my skin. All these these details, this person is noticing because of the consciousness, because of the awareness that this person is practicing. So that's a good sign. Earlier these things were happening, but now intentionally you pay attention. Intentionally you try to notice the walking process. When you try it, you start to realize there are so many little details are there in this process. Earlier, they were happening out of habit, or earlier they were happening in the darkness. Now the practitioner, they try to shed more and more light into this process. They try to notice more and more details in this process. They try to let the body walk under the light of mindfulness. So this is the practice that we are doing. And when you do it, you realize little by little, more and more light come into this process. You start to notice more and more details of this process. You start to notice that your mind is all over the place. So many thoughts, so many memories are there in your mind. Usually a beginner, they complain, they say that I can't practice meditation because of this problem. I can't be mindful because of so many thoughts. I can't do this, that because of these things they are saying. But you have to encourage them saying that we are not practicing one-pointedness. That's not the idea of the practice. We are doing mindfulness. As a result of mindfulness, your mind might be one-pointed. But that come as a result, as a byproduct. The practice is basically being aware. Wherever your mind wanders, just being aware you can practice. Let it be in thoughts, but you know that the mind is in thoughts. Let it be in sounds, but you know that your mind is in sounds. That very knowing is the correct practice. So for a beginner, we have to encourage them saying, it's natural that you get so many thoughts. It's natural that so many memories, inner chatter, planning come into your mind. But among these things, you are mindful. Your complaint comes as a result of mindfulness. As a result of your awareness, you start to notice that there are so many thoughts in my mind. Some people even say in between two breaths, the mind is jumping to thoughts. In between two steps, the mind starts storytelling. So these observations are valid. This is how the mind is. Earlier also it was the same. But only now you are noticing because of your awareness, because of the light of mindfulness. So that idea is very important. You have to mention to a beginner again and again, it's natural that you get so many thoughts. It's natural that you get inner chatter. It's natural that you get so many memories, future planning. Just among these things, be mindful. Try to take more and more conscious steps. Try to take more and more conscious breaths. That way, you have to encourage them to practice again and again. And when they practice for a while, they realize now they can be mindful for few steps. They can be mindful for few breaths. That ability is developed in your mind. Earlier you say, you couldn't be mindful. Now you are saying, I can continue with my mindfulness at least for few steps. I can take few conscious breaths. That ability is improving. That ability is improving, and you may able to continue this practice again and again. You try to be conscious of this walking process. Again and again, you try to be conscious of this sitting process. Try to notice all the details in this process. Little details are there. So many details are there. Just let them be and calmly notice them. That's the idea of the practice. And when you do this practice, you realize now due to these this mindfulness, due to this mindfulness practice, your mind is becoming calmer and calmer. When I say calmer, I'm not saying there are no thoughts. When I say calmer, I'm not saying there are no thinking processes. But among these thoughts, among these memories, among these future planning, still you feel that your mind is at a lower stress level. That observation is valid for a practitioner. Usually, they start to observe this. You sit for 15-20 minutes and you feel much more calm and relaxed in your mind. You walk for 15-20 minutes and you feel much more calm and relaxed in your mind. So that's a good indicator that the practice works. Now, there was this research done somewhere and they found out that 6 hours of sleep, after 6 hours of sleep, you get a certain level of oxygen consumption in your brain. Right? So oxygen consumption levels are reducing with the sleep. That is suggesting that you are going into more and more relaxed states of mind. That's why the consumption levels are reducing. So they have found out that after 6 hours of sleep, this person reaches a certain level of oxygen consumption, a lower level. And in meditation, after 20 minutes, you reach the same level of relaxness in your mind reaches within 20 minutes. Same oxygen consumption levels are reached within 20 minutes. So sleep is one way of relaxing. You are unconscious, but your mind is relaxing. Now meditation is another way of relaxing. There you are conscious and your mind is relaxing. Which one is better? You can really see that after 6 hours of sleep, the oxygen consumption levels that are reached in meditation, only after 20 minutes, you are reaching the same level. I'm not trying to say that 6 hours of sleep equals to 20 minutes of meditation. That's not the idea. Instead, same consumption levels are reached. In other terms, same relaxation is reached within 20 minutes of meditation, within 6 hours of sleep. So when you see this data, you realize if you want to relax your mind, being conscious and allowing it to relax, that's the way. Maybe you can try and sleep, but probably like even 6-7 hours of sleep won't be enough because you are so tired, because you are so stressed. So it is important that we introduce this conscious way of relaxing into our lives. Now, while walking and while sitting, basically you are trying to just walk for the sake of walking. You are just trying to sit for the sake of sitting. You allow your body to walk. You allow your body to breathe. Simply be aware. It's not about doing. It's about non-doing. You just simply be with the process, be with the walking process, be with the sitting process. And that is so relaxing. That's why within 20 minutes of meditation, you feel that your mind is calm and relaxed. Even for a beginner, within few minutes, they feel that your mind is calm and relaxed. So this practice is important. Little by little, we get to know the proper way of practice. Repetitive practice is important. Repetitive discussions are important. Sharing your experience is important. Because maybe you don't know the proper way of practice. Maybe you are doing something wrong in your practice. If you know the proper way of practice, then within only a few minutes, you realize your entire body and mind is relaxing. Within 20 minutes of meditation, you may reach a level, a consumption level, which is equal to 6 hours of sleep. So you can see how powerful this conscious way of relaxing. You are not doing anything. It's just simply be aware. We don't do. Instead, we try to simply be aware. It's more about non-doing. When you sit in meditation, when you walk in meditation, it's natural that you get so many thoughts, ideas, things to do. These things come to your mind. Usually what we do is that we stop the meditation, we go and do that task. Again, we come back to the meditation. Again, some other thing might come into your mind and you may go do that thing. Again and again, these ideas, thoughts come into your mind. But the meditator, they allow these thoughts to pass naturally while being aware. While being aware, you just simply acknowledge them and let them be. Let them be. Simply continue your awareness with the walking. Simply continue your awareness with the sitting. If you do this, then meditation is about non-doing rather than doing. And non-doing, it's allowing your mind to relax. And it's a conscious way of relaxing when we meditate. While asleep, you are unconscious. But while meditation, you are consciously aware. You consciously be there. That way of relaxing is much more powerful. So that's the way to deal with your stress. Let's say if you try to deal with your stress with sleep, then you might have to sleep for like 10 hours per day. Still, it won't be enough sometimes. So that happens. But if you try to deal with it with meditation, then probably like 1.5 hours of meditation daily would be enough to create much more calmer states of mind. And even you can reduce some hours from your sleep because you are meditating. So this way of practice, you have to introduce into your lives. It might take some time. It might take some energy. You can't suddenly learn the way of the practice. But instead, repetitively, you have to practice. Repetitive practice will allow you to learn the proper way. That's how you can do. And when you practice again and again, you realize more and more light come into this process. Now that poor foreigner, he was saying he was in a way, he was complaining about the things he noticed while being conscious. He was saying that while in the walking process, he was walking in the wrong direction. That was one of his complaints. He was saying that he was walking turning in a wrong direction. The turning direction, it was the complaint. Then he was complaining about one leg dragging and the other leg taking more of the weight. And he was complaining about breathing only through a single nostril. So in a way, you start to notice all these imperfections in your body. Usually they come as a complaint. You say one leg is dragging. You are turning in a wrong direction. You are breathing through only one nostril. All these complaints come. Some people, they complain about their thoughts, emotions, memories. They say, dark thoughts, dark memories come into my mind. Some of them say, lustful thoughts come into my mind. Some of them say, I have jealousy or I have anger. So all these complaints come. But you have to tell the practitioner that this is just an observation. Earlier it was there. Now, with the light of the mindfulness, you are noticing these things. Earlier you were unaware. Now you are aware. That very awareness is what we are practicing. Being aware is important. Let's say you being angry. Which one is better, knowing or not knowing? Some people might say, not knowing the anger might be better. But that may lead you into a trap. Because you don't know you are angry. You might go hit somebody. You might go say something. So this knowing, it's important. Although it's not pleasant when you know, this knowing will protect you. So that's the idea of the practice. That's why we say the body might not be perfect, but you know that one leg is dragging. You know that you are breathing only through one nostril. You know that you are always taking the wrong turns. That's fine. You know those things. That very knowing is important. You know that you are lustful. You know you are angry. You know that you have so many thoughts in your mind. You know that you are sad. So all this knowing will protect you in various situations. So that's why, although it might not be pleasant to know these things, we encourage you to practice knowing again and again. We encourage you to practice this awareness again and again. It might not be pleasant, but that knowing will protect you. If you are wearing a glove, then you don't have to worry about touching electricity line. Because you have protection. So this knowing is similar to that glove. It is protecting you. So although it might not be pleasant, we encourage you to continue with this knowing again and again. Try to know these things. That's why in this new age, they say mindfulness is a superpower. You know that you're angry while being angry. You know that you are sad while being sad. You know that your mind is not calm among this chaos. That very knowing is identified as a superpower because it is protecting you. It is like wearing a glove before you touch electric line. That glove will protect you. So that's the idea of the practice. Sometimes it's not pleasant. You think meditation is some kind of a high. If you are meditating, you have to be in this high state. It should feel like cloud nine. That's the idea of the majority. But that's wrong. Sometimes being aware, it's not easy. When you wake up to the reality is not always pleasant. That's natural, that's true. But anyway, you are continuing with this practice. You know that the thoughts are there. You know that you are angry. You know that you are lustful. But again and again, you continue with these things. You continue with this awareness. That continuation is what we are encouraging. That continuation is the practice that we are doing. And when you do it, you realize this conscious way of relaxing or the meditation will allow you to be more and more calm and peaceful in your mind. Not only while walking, not only while sitting, but as long as you are aware, you can continue with this practice. Let's say you are having your meals. You are brushing your teeth. You are taking a shower. Among these things, try to see how many mindful bites, how many teeth you can brush with mindfulness. So that continuation is important, not only while walking, not only while sitting, not only while formal meditation, but even the day-to-day things you try to do with the light of consciousness. Again and again, you continue. Sometimes you make mistakes. Sometimes you forget. These things happen. It's natural. But you have this intention, you have this motivation to practice. Again and again, time after time, you try to be mindful among all these things. While taking a shower, while brushing your teeth, while eating something, while drinking something, probably like while going somewhere, traveling, all these occasions, if you take some time, if you just pay attention, you realize that your body is walking, your body is working, your body is taking a shower. All these things you might notice. You just have to turn your attention towards the present moment. That's all you have to do. So try to continue with this practice. And if you continue even for a few weeks, then you might experience much lower levels of stress and anxiety. And you may feel calmer and calmer in your mind. So that's the idea I want to give today. We encourage all of you to practice and see for yourself.
Thank you, Bhante, and much merits to Bhante for that excellent talk. Next, we have the Q&A session starting up. So I would like to invite Anupama to conduct the Q&A session, and I will share the screen for the introduction to beginners. Over to Anu. Thank you.
Thank you, Namanta. Avasarai Bhante. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you, Anu. Thank you.
Sure. So welcome, everybody. As usual, we will start this part of the session by giving or recapping the introduction to mindfulness, especially for beginners. So as you can see on the screen that Namanta has shared, we have some really helpful videos on how to do mindful walking and mindful sitting. You can watch these videos and follow the instructions accordingly to help improve your practice. The next point is that we would encourage you, as Bhante said in his own talk today, to allocate a small time daily to start practicing mindful walking and sitting. So as Bhante said, 20 to 30 minutes a day will be a very helpful and useful in developing this practice, and you will start seeing or reaping the benefits of such practice, like reducing your stress and anxiety, which is the topic we are currently talking about. So you continue this for a few days until you have completed at least 2 hours of practice in total. And the third point we would like to bring to you is to write a reflection report. You can do this with a question or a statement, and you can write your mindfulness training experience under the various titles like mindful walking and mindful sitting. In this, we would encourage you to describe what you felt while walking and sitting, and what you recognized as you were walking and in the sitting posture through mindfulness. Please describe the prominent sensations during walking, such as the texture of the ground, pressure points on the soles, how the body weight shifted from one leg to the other. For the sitting session, you can describe the prominent sensations, such as the pressure points when you are seated, incoming and outgoing breath at nostrils, bracing or the movement of the chest and abdomen, etc. Once you've done the report, you can send it through to us either via the Google form, the link is on the page, and or via email. And yes, then we will read it out at sessions like this, and you will get guidance from Bhante on how to further improve this practice. Last but not least, continue your mindfulness practice according to the advice given for your report. And all recordings of these sessions are available at the link at right at the bottom of the page. So that's the conclusion of the introduction. We will now move on to the report. I shall proceed. Is that okay, Namantha?
Yes, Anupam. That's right. Thank you.
So we have two reports today. I will start off with number one, which is from an adult. General mindfulness. Bhante, the latest experience that I would like to share with you is that the malleableness or the neuroplasticity, sorry, I think it's malleableness or the neuroplasticity of the mind is really felt in daily life more strongly than before. Difficult to put into words how it feels like in the mind, but it is more and more peaceful than before. Not sure if I'm attached to yet another sensation. When a situation at work is observed non-judgmentally, as it is, compassion grows naturally. But at times, when the mindfulness is not strong, mistakes are made with words, but recognized and forgiven almost immediately. This week, I've really observed the signals in the body and the movement of the mind when praise and blame is received, and experienced strong mindfulness in these situations. Bhante, the sensory world that I once experienced is disappearing fast, which is great. But there are times that the urge to leave the lay life is very strong. Not sure if this is also the result of the practice, or because I'm giving value to those thoughts. Feel that the sila is lacking in the practice that you need it to progress more. Then again, when you put the mind back to the present moment and look at things with awareness, those thoughts quickly fade away. Mind stays without thoughts for longer periods during the day and don't feel tired when waking up. Strong body sensations are noted from time to time. Much merits to you, Bhante. Good to keep in touch with you. End of report 1.
Okay, right. In the plastic mind or the plastic brain, right? So the ability to change it, that's important. If we think that we can't change our mind, then there is no practice. If we think that it is fixed, then there is no practice. The idea is that we have the ability to change this mind. We have the ability to change this brain. That ability we have, but it's not easy. It's not happening just because you wish. Some people, they just wish and think that things might happen magically. There was this person, a meditator, a few days back, and he was just wishing in the meditation. He was just wishing and, you know, walking for 1 hour. So I asked him, what you were wishing? And he told just to be good and, you know, have, get rid of these bad thoughts. That was his wish. So 1 hour while walking, he was wishing, go away the bad thoughts, go away. So that was his meditation, right? So wishing won't work. Instead, there's a way. There's a way to change your mind. There's a way to change your brain. That's why I said, it's a choice. You have a choice. If you don't like the current state of your mind, then change it. If you don't like the current state of your brain, then change it. You have that ability. You have that authority. Let's say when you practice, every time it goes away to various thoughts, memories, you become aware. Again, you come back to the root. When I say root, I am saying the present moment. When I say root, I am saying the body, bodily sensations. When I say root, I am saying the breath or the steps, sensation of the steps. So every time you get lost in thoughts, every time your mind gets carried away, you become aware and you bring your attention back to the present moment. So that you can do, that authority you have over your mind, right? If you do it just once, it won't be enough. Instead, during the 1 hour of walking, you might be doing it for hundreds of times. Again and again, you notice that you got carried away. Again and again, you come back to the present moment. Within few steps, again, it's gone. It's lost. Again, you notice and you come back to the present moment. So this is the practice that we are doing. When you do it, you realize your mind is naturally accepting the present moment more and more. Your mind is naturally letting go of the thoughts. Your mind is naturally letting go of the incidents. Your mind is naturally letting go of these worries and stuff in your day. It is happening naturally. If we say let go, that's not proper. We say acknowledge and let go. That's not proper. We say acknowledge and let it be. You're acknowledging, but you are not trying to suppress it. You just let it be. And with time, again and again, when you return to the present moment, you realize that your mind is changing. This plastic mind is changing and accepting the present moment more and more. This plastic brain is changing and accepting the present moment more and more. Sometimes you intentionally try to get lost in something. Still, it is coming back to the present moment. That's the difficulty experienced by the practitioners. They say earlier, I could get lost in my thoughts, wandering mind. And it feels like some kind of a high. It feels like, you know, marijuana for a while. But now, again and again, my mind comes back to the reality. You try getting lost in thoughts, but you can't do it. Because of this plastic mind, now it is naturally returning to the present moment. It is more and more appreciating the present moment. I am not saying the thoughts are not there. I am not saying the memories are not there. I am not saying the emotions are not there. They are there, but they won't last long. Naturally, your mind will come back to the present moment. So this is what is happening in the practitioner's mind. You may spend like few weeks, few months of practice. And with practice, you realize now my mind has changed. This plastic mind has changed and naturally accepting the present moment more and more. This plastic brain has changed and naturally accepting the present moment more and more. That realization is important. Then you may try, you know, lustful thoughts, lustful memories, you bring them forcefully and try to get lost in them. You bring the anger forcefully and try to get lost in them. Still, it doesn't work. You see, the fuel is there, the spark is there, but it is not catching fire. That's the difference that will happen. The fuel is there, the thoughts are there, the memories are there, the emotions are there. The spark is there, but it is not catching fire. Earlier, when you get lust, probably like it will go forever. Earlier, when you're angry, it will go forever. Earlier, when you are sad, it will go forever. But now the same incident, same situation, the spark is there, the fuel is there, but it is not catching fire. like this wet forest in Nissarana. It's dripping wet. No matter how many matches you light, you can't set it on fire. The spark is there. The fuel is there. Firewood is there. But you can't set it fire because it's not catching fire. So same difference will happen in your mind. The fuel will be there. Don't think that you try to get rid of fuel. That's wrong. You can't do that. Let the fuel be. And the spark is always there. But if it's not catching fire, that's the difference that will happen. That's how the practitioner's mind or the practitioner's brain will change. All these thoughts come. All these memories are there. All these emotions are there. But you are not catching fire in them. You don't go lost in them for a long time. Then you may even try and, you know, go after certain worldly pleasures and see whether they are still pleasurable. Initially, you might feel some pleasure, but soon you get sick of it. You might go and, you know, meet with unpleasant people and see whether they are hurting you so much. Still, it might hurt, but not as it used to be. So this change is happening in a way. Now you are experimenting. Now you are becoming a risk lover. You go and see whether this is pleasurable. You go and meet with this person to see whether they can hurt you. Now you are becoming a risk lover. You are experimenting with this practice. So that way of practice is important, not for a beginner. For a mature yogi, we say, go and experiment. Try and see whether these things are still pleasurable, these worldly things. Try and see whether these people, they can still hurt you. Try and see whether these incidents, they can still hurt you. Try and see whether these lustful thoughts, are they still catching fire? Try and see this anger, does it last so long? So in a way, you are experimenting with the practice. Now you have confidence. You know that the practice works. With that confidence, you go and experiment. When you do it, you realize, although the worldly things are there, although they might be pleasurable for a while, they won't last long. Although you feel sad, it won't last long. Although the lust is there, it's not catching fire as it used to be. So this is the change. This is the plastic brain. This is the plastic mind, right? So you have to again and again experiment. It's not all about becoming a monk. Instead, you just simply try living in your current place and see whether your mind is at peace. Deal with your day-to-day people and see whether they can create chaos in your mind. When you encounter troubling situations, try and see whether the fear arises. That's the way of the practice. Simply it comes down, simply it boils down to this thing. Can I deal with another human being without getting hurt? Can I deal with deal in a troubling situation without creating a mess? That's a good indicator of the practice, how matured you are in the practice. No matter if you become a monk, if you can't deal with somebody else as a human being, then what's the point of becoming a monk? If you can't, you know, deal with in a troubling situation, then what's the point of becoming a monk? If you have to be in a forest with closed eyes, so you don't see anything, so you don't hear anything, then what's the point of becoming a monk? Instead, you mature in the practice, then you realize you might be wearing white clothes, or you might be wearing robes. But still, your mind is at peace. You may be living in a crowded city, you may be living in a forest, but still your mind is at peace. So that's the proper indicator, not the outside things that we wear, not the bald head. Instead, you have to see, how am I dealing with these situations? How am I dealing with these people? Is it still creating chaos in my mind? So that indicator is very much valid. That's a good indicator of the maturity of your practice. So that experimenting you have to do. Now you are no longer a beginner. Now you are experimenting. Go into unpleasant situations and see. Sometimes they come searching for you. And they come see how you are reacting. So this experiment you can do again and again. Thank you for sharing your experience, and we encourage you to practice again and again.
Thank you, Bhante, for the advice on report number one. We'll now move on to report number two. Mindful walking. Walked in the nearby woodland with shoes on. Noted the quick feet movement. Lifting and placing feet were easier to note, and unlike when walking in a path up and down. It was harder to note the lifted position of feet, noted the cool breeze on the skin. Light movement of branches in the light wind. A sense of calmness and well-being felt in the mind. Attention returned to feet movement again, which felt like an automatic process. As recent as a couple of years ago, I would be talking to my husband throughout the walk. But from about 6 months ago, there is less and less interest in talking, and more interest in noticing things, including feet movement, shifting of body weight, tilting forward or backwards to keep the balance, etc. Walked for 40 minutes. Mindful sitting. Sat on the cushion in a comfortable position and gently closed eyes. After a body scan, the breath noted. It was prominently felt near nostrils and in-breath cooler, out-breath warmer. A sense of ease felt early on. Mind is now more comfortable with watching what is taking place instead of expecting some goal from the sitting session. Breath was felt in the rise and fall of stomach, expansion and contraction of the chest, and air flow near nostrils. Breath broke up and it felt subtle. Notice the slight swaying of upper body forwards and backwards. Sleepiness noted, then it passed away. Few thoughts emerged, and these too passed away. Knew that the body was breathing, but it was harder to notice the sensation of breath now. Sleepiness noted again and again. Sat for 45 minutes. Mindfulness during the day. Main thing noticed last week was how the mind was accepting and working with change. Painters were in the house all last week. Habitual resistance to messiness, upheaval, and smell of paint was replaced by a sense of acceptance, and this shall also pass attitude. With work progressing, I had a moving office. The laptop, headphones, and other work things were moved from room to room according to where the workers needed to be. Few years ago, this would have been experienced as an inconvenience, irritation, and invasion of workspace. Thinking style seems to be influenced by the regular mindfulness practice. There was patience and lots of humor in the mind. Noted how easy it is to work from home 80% of the time, even though moving to different room in the last 5 days, like a snake charmer would move his workspace. With most of the windows opened, the smell of paint was not noted as much. Also, with each passing day, the progress of the work in the house noted more. Knew that this work shall also come to an end, and it did. Acceptance of change noted prominently last week. Dear Bhante, looking forward to your valuable feedback. Much merit to you and the organizers. End of report 2.
Okay, so initially it's hard to accept the change. Usually when things come, they feel so real, so solid to us, and we may start fighting them. But with repetitive practice, you realize even the breath is passing away. Even the steps are appearing and disappearing. So everything is arising and ceasing. This is the process that's happening. Right? The practitioner, they experience it. Without knowing, probably they are experiencing it. They don't know what they are experiencing, but we encourage them to practice. When they practice, they experience how the things are arising and how they are ceasing. Again and again, this process is happening. So the Buddha says, when you see this arising, you shed the view that there is nothing. Then Buddha says, if when you see this ceasing, then you shed the view that everything is real, everything is solid. So in between these two, you move again and again. Sometimes you feel like there's nothing. Sometimes you feel like everything is real, everything is solid. Again and again, your mind moves between these two views. This is the practice, arising and ceasing. You are experiencing in your mind. With the awareness, you are experiencing. Earlier, this process was there, but you didn't experience because you didn't have that openness in your mind. Earlier, you catch something and you say that this is real. This is there. This is solid. That's your struggle. That's how the stress is created. But now, with that openness, mindfulness, we say, just simply openness in your mind. Non-judgmentally, you are observing the present moment. When you observe the present moment, non-judgmentally, you see things are arising, things are ceasing. This process is happening again and again. Maybe without even knowing, you are experiencing this. In a way, this world is all about change. It's rapidly changing. If you keep that openness, you see this rapid change. Things are appearing, things are disappearing again and again. It's happening. So when you experience this in your mind, when you practice for a few weeks, few months, then you realize you don't take things too seriously. Your automatic response, it won't take things too seriously. Sometimes you start to see things with humor. Humor is also important. If you hold on to things, you can't have humor in your life. But if you have this letting go attitude in your mind, then you might see the irony behind it. So that ability is developing. Your mind is changing. This ability is developing. And sometimes when you practice for long enough, when the things come in your mind, you have this deep understanding, these things too will pass away. These too shall pass. That understanding is there. I am not saying it is intentional. Due to the repetitive practice, that deep understanding is there. You don't hold on to them so strongly. That's the idea behind it. Your mind won't hold on to them so strongly. So in a way, your mind already knows that this too shall pass. When they come, your mind knows that this too shall pass. Now, last few months, I had to visit certain sometimes schools, sometimes various other places for these Satipasala programs. So you can imagine living in a forest in silence among nature and suddenly going to a school full of kids, right? Shouting, running, screaming, all those, that combination, right? So you can see suddenly the mind changes. It becomes agitated. It becomes anxious. You don't like this environment, right? But when you go again and again, what I experienced was that now, even though in the beginning of the program, I feel like this too will end, you know, this is another day and soon it will be done with. So that idea, if you have, then your mind won't create so much stress out of it. Your anxiety, it can't last, because your mind already knows, although this comes, this too shall pass. This day will also end. No matter how many things you do within a day, at the end of the day, it will be done with. So that realization is important in your mind. It comes as a result of repetitive practice. You don't hold on to them so strongly. That's the deep understanding I'm saying. Due to the repetitive practice, when things come, you know that this too shall pass. That attitude is there in your mind and it is not holding on to things. And when that attitude is arising, when it is developing, you realize even though the so many sounds are there, even though so many thoughts are there, even though there are so many people around me, my mind is at peace. Oh, it is plugged into the silence. That ability is improving. You are among people. You are in a noisy environment. So many thoughts in your mind. But your mind is silent. Can it be? Can you imagine a situation among so many people, so noisy, then so many thoughts in your mind? Still, the mind is at peace. The mind is silent. Can it happen? So that's happening with this practice. You realize the thoughts are there, but your mind is at peace. The people are there. Your mind is at peace. These noises are there. Your mind is at peace. That ability is improving. And you realize among all these things, you are at peace. Or your mind is silent. Maybe you are talking for the sake of other people. Probably for the sake of your husband, you are talking. Probably for the sake of your children, you are talking. Even Buddha, he initially thought that I won't preach. I won't preach. It's going to be disturbing. It's going to be a trouble. So I'm not preaching. But when a flower blooms, naturally, it appears in the surrounding as well. Naturally, you start to see the smell of the flower. Naturally, you start to see the color of the flower. So in a way, you are doing things for the sake of other people. Sometimes you are speaking for the sake of your husband or for the sake of your children. Again, you plug into the silence. Again, you continue with your practice. Again, sometimes you might speak. So that's the way. All the questions you don't have to answer. Sometimes silence is the best answer. Because whatever you say, you can't agree. You know, they will have a different perception. They will understand or experience things differently. no matter how many explanations you give, it won't work. So maybe silence is the best answer. Right? And then that attitude, little by little, maturing, that attitude, little by little, developing in you. Other people act, you react by not acting. Other people ask questions, you react by not answering. They make sounds, you react with silence. Not all the time, but when the time is right, you speak, otherwise you stay silent. So this attitude or this ability, you have to develop. Through the practice, you have to develop. It will be unique to you. You can't copy somebody else's. That's not going to work. Sometimes people, they try to copy the teacher. They walk like the teacher. They talk like the teacher. They say that they are close to enlightenment now because they walk or they talk like it. It's not happening. Instead, you have to develop your own unique practice. It's hard work, but it's worth doing. That's the idea. So thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Bhante. Much merits for the wonderful guidance for report number 2. It's certainly helpful for all of us. And thank you for those who shared their reports with us as well. It helps with the progression of practice for all involved. Now is the turn for people to ask any questions from Bhante. I can already see a raised hand from Panchani. If you could unmute Panchani, maybe she can go ahead and ask the question. Thank you.
When you mentioned that when you went to a school and you noticed the your change of state of your mind and how you just tried to silence your mind, I just wanted to share the opposite, really, because this is me on a daily basis trying to silence my mind because I work with 32 kids every day. So maybe it's okay to crave a bit of silence on the other side, like, you know, at Miss Saranavani, what you experience on a daily basis is what I crave. So maybe it's okay the other side as well. I just wanted to share my humor with you.
Yeah, it's good to experience both the extremes. Usually when you become a monk, you don't get to experience that chaos. You don't get to go to a school with like 2,000 kids, right? You don't get that experience. But due to these programs, we are anyway going. When we go, so much noise. The entire hall is full of noise, right? They are lost in their own worlds, right? So sometimes it's so hard to give this message. You have to take it lightly and perform according to the situation. If you try to, you know, give the message 100%, then you are creating stress. If they are listening, if they understand the vibration, then of course we can give the message properly. If they are not understanding, if they are not taking, what to do? So sometimes we just do the games and stuff and come back. No formal meditation, no nothing. Just do the games, may have some fun, then come back because you can't give the message. They are not ready to accept it. So you have to experience both the extremes. Now, I too get to experience once in a while, not always. Silence of the forest is replaced by the noise of a school. Right? So you can see. So that's how. Dealing with kids, it's a good opportunity for you to meditate. That's the only idea. Because if you are getting agitated, if you are getting angry, then no point in the practice. Now, a few weeks back, we went to this program, government school, no behavior at all, right? So they are shouting. So to the other monk, even before the program, I told him, today it will be a test for us, not a test for them. It will be a test for two of us. about our meditation. Because nobody is listening, but you are preaching. Nobody is listening, nobody is mindful, but you are telling about mindfulness. So it will be a test for us, not for them. Right? You might not die of a heart attack during the day because you get so angry, you get so agitated. I have in my blood. I can get angry very easily. Within few seconds, I can get angry. Even today, there was that incident, something happened. So I was like screaming within few seconds. What to do? So that's in my blood. So even before the program, I know this is a test for me, not for them. This is the meditation for me, not for the kids. So that way you have to approach it. With some humor, you have to approach it. With taking them lightly, you have to approach it. So that way we'll try and see. So you are living in the other extreme, I'm living in this extreme. We tend to go to the other one, extremes once in a while. Right? So that experience is valuable because you have to experience both the extremes. Now let's say you are living in this forest forever. Then you might even feel like going back to the society, going back to the crowds, going back to the people and see how that experience is. So those extremes are there. It's valuable that we experience. For everybody, I'm saying, you have at least once in your lifetime, you have to spend like 3-4 months in a monastery and see your own mind. You might feel like dying after a few days. Within like probably like 5, 6, or 10, 15 days, you might feel like dying. Your body feels like entire body is aching, paining. Your mind is all over the place. All the past incidents, problems at home, family members, this entire thing comes to you. So at least once in your lifetime, if you can spend 3-4 months in a monastery, silently meditating, then you might experience your so-called your own mind. So-called your own mind, you have to experience at least once in a lifetime. It might take 3-4 months. Now, there was this foreigner, a German fellow. Initially, he came for like 10 days. He was a very nice person, you know, humble person. So I told him when he left, try 3-4 months next time. This time he came for 3 months. Now it's been like 2.5 months. Now he is struggling so much. He's saying, I feel like crying for no reason. What is this? I feel like going outside. I feel like this doesn't work. I feel like I am wasting time. Because German fellows, they are all about the efficiency. In this monastery, I am wasting my time. No output. So all these doubts, questioning, all these emotions that are hidden within us. For no reason, you are crying. For no reason, you are angry. For no reason, you are sad. For no reason, you are happy. So these things we have to experience. It might take few months, not within few days, within first few days or within a week, it won't come. When you spend for 3-4 months, then you might be able to experience your so-called your own mind. So it's important that at least once in a lifetime we experience it. Before we die, before we suffer an illness, you have to come and experience this in a monastery, living with silence, living with monkeys for a few months.
Thank you, Bhante. We now have Rajika. If you can unmute yourself and ask a question or make a statement.
Thank you very much, Anupama. I just want to add the Panchani's the statement, something to Panchani's statement, as Bhante mentioned, the two extremes. I guess Panchani may be a teacher too. I work with children too every day. So it's at the end of the year, every year. So I try to go at least 10-day retreat to experience, because as said, like a functioning, throughout the year, dealing with all the kids' noises and apart from my daily, you know, the family and my own children, they all, the family matter. So it's interesting, actually, when I go to the retreat and that I think around fifth day, I feel like how much happening inside me. I never see that while I was dealing with the outside, with my family matters or my work. I never noticed that how much things happening inside. So I thought it's interesting to share that my experience as well. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Yes, I hear you. I remember you came here for 5 days and within 4 days you ran away, right? Remember?
I went for another task that Loku Swami Vinhansi allocated me. But
Yes, all those excuses are there. All the reasoning is there. Even the first 4 days she was cooking, she was doing all the pujas, not meditating, doing all the other things in the monastery. So that's how. So once in a lifetime you have to go and experience. Not just for 5 days, try 50 days and see. Right?
I will stay one day. But actually
come here, go to some other place.
Yeah. I was going to tell you that, like, before I come to Nisarnavane, I was doing some other retreats, for 10-day retreats. So I did that silent without talking to anyone. I have done experience that. It just, when I came to Nisarnavane, I had other things to, you know, other spy works to do, because I have pre-planned certain things. So that's why it wasn't really a silent retreat.
Yeah, let me tell you her meditation, spying, cooking, doing puja, all those things. It's like CIA.
Yes. Thank you.
So that's how it is, you know. You have to come and experience. That's the idea. So go to a forest and see. Not just into a forest, but you have to go with proper guidance. Proper guidance, instructions, schedule, timetable, something like that. A retreat. Then you try and experience how your mind is. As Rajika mentioned, you will try to get to experience things that you have never experienced before in your mind. Thoughts, emotions, various things come. Probably like trauma from your childhood, psychological wounds. These things come. You don't know the reasoning, but it's there. When they come, how to deal with them. It's an important skill that you have to develop. So in a way, this is the ultimate check of your mental health. Not just, you know, living in a usual way, but going to the extremes and see how the mind is reacting. It's a good test. It is testing the mental health, not the physical health. Now, even there were people here, they were working in the army, SF, right? Then after retirement or something, they come here just to see, I was SF, I was working in Sri Lankan army, why can't I do the meditation? So they were thinking about the physical health, but now it's the mental strength that's under threat. Within few days, they realize even the yellow monkeys, the Rilau, they have a better vibration than me, right? They are meditating better than me. That realization will come. So that's the extreme. It's so funny to watch, because I am sitting in a different place. I am watching. I get to see how these people are performing, how they are reacting, how the vibration, it's even worse than the monkey's vibration in the forest. So that's true. So you have to try and you have to experience on your own. That's the idea. Nobody else can give.
Thank you, Bante. Thank you, Rajita, for that. We next have Samantha. If you would like to unmute and ask your question, please.
Thanks, Anupa. I must say, Bante, you've given me a challenge now. So one day I'm going to come to Nisarana for 3 months and see whether I'm going to last it. Because having been on retreats for like the maximum I've been on is about 12 days. After, sometimes I get homesick and, oh great, I get a bit of freedom now. It feels like, but then at the same time, I say, oh no, I like the peace. I don't think I can cope with the noise, and the hustle bustle. So it's mixed at the moment. So that is a great challenge, Bhante. So 3 months in a retreat. Okay, I'll let you know how I get on one day. And also, I just like to learn three things I learned today. I won't be long. That's amazing. Was all this time I thought I had to be mindful and let go. Then I realized it didn't resonate with me because I've been always sort of like it comes back. I felt like I was suppressing something, and that problem always came back. But to learn to let it be, that's interesting, because I've been practicing that recently since I've heard from this program, and I thought, okay, let me just accept whatever the situation is, good or bad, well, usually in the bad sense, and let it be, accept it, then that too will pass. And that also I noticed it, just like what Bhante said today. So that's very interesting. And then, you know, just to keep practicing that. And then I like that bit, react with silence. But to do all this, I suppose one has to have a high degree of resilience and equanimous mind, maybe through the meditation that's the strengthen up. But the question I need to ask Bhante is now, when you just quickly, when you say let it be and accept it, mindfulness in the present moment, should we then see what do we do? Should there be inject some wisdom? Sati sampajanna. When does that come, and how do you know what wisdom to inject at the time, at the moment? Or is it just awareness of rising, passing? Thank you, Bhante.
Yeah. So instead of letting it go, letting it be, that idea is important. That's the proper way of practice. Because letting go, it happens naturally. You can't force it. So letting it be, that's the idea. And when you let it be, already there is wisdom. Right? Now you are not suppressing. Now you have the right view. You have to understand this practice. The very first step or the very first stepping stone is wisdom, right view. Let's say mindfulness. When we give the mindfulness idea, we say, observe, be present, non-judgmentally. Just observe, know that you're walking, know that you're sitting. Right? That is wisdom. Right? That's where it starts. Right? Again and again, this loop is going. Again and again, they strengthen each other. But when you acknowledge, when you be present and let it be, there's always already wisdom there. So you don't have to do anything else. Just live with it. Sometimes the anger, although we talk, doing it, it's not easy. Walking the talk, it's not easy. Sometimes you feel agitated for hours. You are full of anger. But still, you have to accept it and let it be for a while. Then you realize soon it'll pass. That ability you have to develop, that ability contains wisdom. Already, there are aspects of wisdom there. So try to continue that way.
Thank you, Bhante.
And if you are coming for a silent retreat, you have to talk. You can talk to Panchali. Panchali will give you the information.
Brilliant. Thank you, Bhante. Will do.
Thank you, Bhante. Thank you, Samantha. Brilliant discussion and points. I'm sure everyone's taken them on board. We've got Dhananjaya also, who would like to say something. If you could unmute.
Yes, thank you very much for the opportunity given. I have two questions. One is, as Bhante said, that when you go and teach or try to give the message to a bunch of kids, they are very noisy. And sometimes you may have, it's a test for us, for the trainer. But if he cannot give the message proper, because I experience that, then I feel kind of guilty because I'm spending time. It's their time as well as my time. And if the message is not given, of course, it will be a test for us. Then I'll be unhappy. That how do you cope that? That is my first question. Second question is, all due respect to the teachers who are joining this, and also both my parents were teachers. At one of our parent-teacher meeting, I told this, I calculated the number of days a teacher worked for a year. Now, I have taken up a day as a half day. It's only 66 days out of 365 days a teacher will work. But why? Now, those gone are the days that they, at that time, the stress.
I think we may have lost connection with Dhananjay.
Yeah, I too can't hear.
Dhananjay, if you, we can't hear you. I think that we've disconnected, but you still seem to be in the Zoom room. If you can maybe raise your hand, if you can hear us.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I think,
yeah
my okay. connection, I lost my connection. Now, what I was telling is now, a teacher, why now the teachers are more stressful than about 10, 15 years ago, because teaching is a profession that you must enjoy. And now when we do this practice and when we hear things, most of the teachers are having this non-communicable disease. So Bhante, my question is, how do we help them? Yes, we are doing it as a team. Why it has happened recently and not in the past? Thank you very much.
Okay, now the first one, I would say it's, we think that giving a present, it's more generous, right? But when we really think about it, if the receiver, if they are not ready to accept it, then although we try our best, still it's not taken. So you can see, even it's more generous to accept a present. Or in other words, they'll say, once the disciple is ready, the teacher will appear. Not the other way around, right? Once the disciple is ready, teacher will appear. Oh, accepting a present is more generous than giving one, right? So it depends on the situation. If it depends on your energy as well. Sometimes you feel like your energy is high, and the crowd, they are connected, so the message is communicated. Sometimes you feel like the crowd is lost, totally lost. So what to do? We still go, we still try to give something, but you can't exhaust yourself. You can't stress yourself over the situation. So depending on the situation, depending on the energy, depending on the crowd, you have to perform. So always your performance will depend on those things, right? Otherwise, you are creating stress to you, right? Sometimes the doctors die out of the diseases, right? That's not good. That's not good. So that's one thing. Giving a present, accepting a present, it's more generous than giving one. Oh, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Then the second part, of course, it's a well-respected job, and you know, our future depends on the teachers, right? So, if the teachers are skillful, then of course the future generations are well taught. So, that profession is very important, but nowadays maybe somebody like Panchani or Rajika can help, saying that their education system might be totally different to ours. Here it's totally, you know, target like achievements. So many periods, so many subjects, that's how it is. And it is not taught the most valuable skills to survive, dealing with your emotions, how to respect others, how to talk to somebody, how to negotiate. Nothing is there. So that's a different discussion. That's something we have to have as a community, as Satipasala community. Probably the teachers from other regions, they can help. They can say how the studies are distributed, how many hours studying hours, classroom hours, how many hours outside. So it depends. But what I am pointing is that teaching, it's a critical job. Usually that's the highest, one of the highest paid jobs in the society. At least that should be one of the highest paid jobs in the society, because the entire future generation is dependent on that, right? So that's how it is. We'll keep it open. We'll see as a community, as Satipasala community, when we deal with schools, teachers more and more, we'll figure out more and more details. And we are still starting. So with time, we can figure it out. Okay, I think we ran out of time. I have only a few more minutes to join the other program. So Anupama, if you can.
Yes, thank you, Bante. Thank you, Dhananjay, and everybody for your contribution. It's been a great session. So we will conclude the Q&A now, and I will hand over to Namante. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Anupam. Excellent session and many insightful comments and discussions going on. And I noting that, as Bhante mentioned, we are over time. I would like to proceed to wrap up the program, if that is okay. So I would like to pass on merits to Venerable Bhante Homagama Dhamma Kusala Thero for such participation in our program, and also for valued insight throughout, and the discussion as well, apart from the talk. So we will like to pass on merits and wish that Panthe's own practice and endeavors will become fruitful in the path to proceeding into higher levels of mindfulness. Plus, we would also like to pass on merits to Venerable Chief Bhante Udayiregam Dhammajiva Mahathero, the Chief Abbot of the Nisaranamanaya Forest Monastery, for the wonderful request to create this program during another session we had with him. So that was a historic moment where he requested this. It was much merits to him, and wish him good health and long life, and also mindful progress. Plus, I would like to share merits with all the wonderful team of organizers who are standing behind this program. I do most of the talking as a host, but there is a whole team who are working hard. So wish them all the merits, and that they will also prosper and advance in the practice of mindfulness. And I will also like to pass on merits to all the participants who have participated in this program today and in all the sessions to this date, making this program a real success, and allowing the program to evolve in this manner by sending through reports, asking questions, and doing this kind of work. So thank you. All your efforts and all your enthusiasm has progressed the program as well. So thank you, and I share these merits with you, and wish that your own practices will improve and flourish. So with that, I would like to invite you to the session next Saturday at the same time slot, and please practice these concepts and ideas in the next 7 days in your daily practice, in formal meditation involving mindful walking and sitting sessions. And we will meet next week. Have a mindful and happy week ahead. Thank you so much. I will end the Zoom session now.